Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are coming to you today with the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
With some wonderful, encouraging news on this Friday. So they say down south, it's Friday. The reason why is because we fry about everything down south. Can you fry it? Do you have fried food on your menu? Welcome all of our new listeners that have joined us. Tim and Robert and Esther and David and another Robert and Thomas and Mark and Kenneth and David and Barbara and so many of you guys. I can't even name you. I just want to thank you for joining us in the virtual audience of VFN TV, the daily VFN radio program. If you haven't yet done this, go to our Facebook and like us. That's facebook.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on Facebook. A quick little news report lets you know that we have a new Secretary of Defense that's being put in office. We have a new Secretary of State that's being put in office. But we have the same president.
Yep.
We're going to be talking to you about Roe versus Wade today. John has something on his heart that's going to just encourage us there. A story behind, you know, Jane Roe and how she was used and who she is today. And quite often we try to define people by how people use them. And it's like, hey, I was used. That wasn't me. And it's exciting things to think about that and to see about it. We're also going to be talking today, hopefully in the extra hour, the citizenship test. We're looking forward to the humiliation that we go through, finding out what we don't know about our country.
Yay.
And how to embrace weakness. How to embrace weakness. We're trying to live up to John's standards to be able to just learn to just be weak. You know what I'm saying? Embrace that thing. You know what I'm saying? Embrace it. And also talking to you about vision. The importance of vision is so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
My goodness. It is Friday. Friday. You know, this Sunday, I'm finding out late in the day, I am going to be going to Alabama because my son-in-law is going there to be able to race his car. He's a drag racer. Mm-hmm. And so Blake is going to be dragging his Honda. He's got a huge tractor engine in a small Honda.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is pretty cool. I got a chance to go see him race his car in Alabama. So I'll be going over there, I'll be leaving this state, going over there to see what's happening. And I can't wait to see. I know he's going to win. You know, I'm not going to go all the way to Alabama.
Watch him lose. That would be bad.
That would be sad. Oh, my goodness. Man, I went to Alabama.
No,
I went to Alabama. Come on, man. You got to win this thing. You've got to win this thing. I'm telling you what. Listen, if you think you got troubles and you got problems, I got news for you. There is a way that you can put them into perspective.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man, what was I thinking? You know, The sun's beautiful. I love dirt. Look at the dirt. Oh, my goodness. Look at the grass. Oh, look at this winter snow 10 feet deep. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I just love it. Look at how we put out a fire in Chicago and the water froze to the building as it burns. Well, okay, we can build a new one. I'm telling you, we're going to talk about that today called embracing weakness. It's going to really encourage you and help you put things in perspective.
Yes, fantastic. Listen, you know, I know yesterday we were talking about Roe versus Wade being celebrated and just how disgraceful that was. I mean, it's 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion back in 1973. And, you know, a lot of people are familiar with Roe versus Wade and the landmark case, but many are not familiar with who actually Jane Roe was. Jane.
Yeah, so Jane Roe. Now, that's what the case, when you have a trial, you know, coming from a law enforcement experience, we always base things on trials, and it's called precedents that are set. And they would go back and they would quote a case, and they would say the state versus or the federal government versus, or America versus. And you're saying that so Roe versus Wade is two opposite viewpoints coming together, and they're versing, they're basically hashing it out in the court.
Yeah, Wade is actually, Henry Wade, he was a district attorney in Dallas, and he was trying to, you know, upheld those laws in Dallas, you know, to keep the sanctity of life.
Right.
And the woman, Jane Roe, her real name is Norma McCorvey. Norma McCorvey, that's her real name. And what's kind of interesting about, you know, this whole case is that she was actually never testified. According to the Blaze, she never actually testified in the court proceedings. And
but yeah, her name is, you know, her presence, her case, her situation
was just all over the place. You know, allegedly she even admitted to the fact that she lied, that she was raped. All this came out afterwards, and most people don't know that she actually never had the abortion. The case was
she never had the abortion.
The
very thing that actually brought about legalizing abortions in America for 40 years now, one every 30 seconds, 55 million children Americans have been killed through that. So she never did have it?
No, because the case was actually decided after she had the baby.
So she couldn't have it legally, so she went ahead and had the baby.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And this is amazing, you know, and once you hear more about her story, you know, she's had a really, really rough life. She's a young girl. She was married at a young age, 16 years old, and, you know, had several pregnancies. Actually, she's had three right around that time. Well, after the case, she was a real strong, you know, supporter of pro-choice, which is really, I mean, these words that they give things is so evil. Pro-choice is like really pro-killing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pro-murder, you know?
Yeah.
And for many, many, many years. Well, what happened one time I believe it was in Dallas, an organization, a Christian organization called Operation Rescue, actually moved right next door to the clinic that she was working in.
I remember that organization.
Yeah, yeah. And so she was a strong, I believe over 20 years, she was a strong supporter of pro-choice, and she wound up building a relationship with one of the leaders that worked at the Operation Rescue. Well, wouldn't you know that after just some time and building that relationship and them loving on her, Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe in Roe versus Wade, actually gave her life to the Lord. She got
saved.
She's
a Christian.
She's a Christian.
Oh, my goodness.
Not only was she a Christian, she was baptized on national television. And,
oh, my goodness. Is that when she's baptized in a swimming pool?
I don't know if it was a swimming pool, but it was...
Yeah, I think it was a swimming pool. I remember that. She was actually baptized in a swimming pool.
Yeah, and so, you know, she since then has been, you know, just a supporter of life and just been, you know, campaigning really and just speaking everywhere that she can. And she's reported saying that she's felt so sad over her involvement and, you know, in this case and what has happened with all the killing of babies throughout the many years. And she actually wrote a book about her experience called One by Love.
Wow.
One by Love.
They loved her into the kingdom.
Right. I mean, how beautiful is that?
And what's her name?
Norma McCorvey.
Wow.
Norma McCorvey.
Loved in the kingdom.
And I want us to hear straight from her. We have a little small segment where you can hear from her own story, her own words, what she has to say. It's really touching. And in fact, just listen up.
Okay.
Most of you won't recognize me or my real name. It's Norma McCorvey. I'm also known as Jane Roe, the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in America and changed our nation in an unprecedented way. Back in 1973, I was a very confused 21-year-old with one child and facing an unplanned pregnancy. At the time, I fought to obtain a legal abortion, but the truth be told, I have three daughters and have never had an abortion. However, upon knowing God, I realized that my case, which legalized abortion on demand, was the biggest mistake of my life. You see, abortion has eliminated 50 million innocent babies in the U.S. alone since 1973. Abortion scars an untold number of post-abortive mothers, fathers, and families, too. You read about me in history books, but now I'm dedicated to spreading the truth about preserving the dignity of all human life, from natural conception to natural death.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh my, it is. Isn't that awesome? That's so encouraging, and that's what's our life, you know? Where
yeah,
okay, the stuff that I did before I knew Jesus,
exactly.
You know, I sowed into this whole thing called the fall of man.
Yeah,
and we have to stand up and say, you know what? But from now on, I found out it's wrong.
Yeah,
and here she is. I'm at Roe versus Wade, a generation, 40 years.
40 years.
Just imagine carrying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and wow. But yeah, she's standing. How important is that? Wow. But she was used. Yeah. I mean, it was something like the allegedly the NOW organization, whatever, just took her case and said, "This is the one. Let's run with it." Like they're doing now for the gun,
like the
gun lobbies are doing now, or the Second Amendment. The people that are against the Second Amendment, they're just grabbing a case and running with it.
But that's exactly what.
And people say that it doesn't that they can't do nothing. Well, Roe versus Wade proves that you can just grab a case that kind of fits and it gets you before the before the Supreme Court, so you can argue it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's exactly what she said was her case. She said that she was never asked to testify. They, you know, they just took her case and ran with it. She never showed up to court, and she found out about the decision like everyone else in the newspapers and in the news. She had no idea what had happened till afterwards.
Because just lawyers show up when you're in the Supreme Court.
I think
lawyers show up. It's all a whole room full of lawyers, including the ones behind the bench normally.
Wow!
And, yeah, they're all deciding what they're gonna do in the context of that. But yeah, I mean that's us, isn't it?
It is us. It is us, and that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. That's all we can do.
Well, you know that is so important to be able to hear that because that when you look at your own life and you see, you know, I constantly weigh in the balance, and which really humbles us. We realize, you know, we weren't born again the day we were born in the natural sense.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, even though the Lord knew us, we had to openly accept him at some point in our life. And you know, I was older than one when I received the Lord. I believe I was 25 years old. I was 25 years old. And of course you can do a lot of damage by the time you're 25.
Oh yeah,
sure can. I have proven that theory.
Yeah, right. And so I remember when, you know, I was asked to pray at the city that I grew up in, and that stadium, they bring everybody together to pray. He asked me to pray, and it's like, you know, sort of like the guy that was Legion that got delivered, and he's going like, Jesus, please take me with you.
Yeah.
Please take me.
You don't understand. I got to go.
There's nobody more confident than the people who leave their city and come to yours and act like they don't have no history.
That's right.
But when you're in your own city like him, you know, you're going like, Jesus, please don't send me here. Let me go with you. Is there a country I can go to? Is there a city?
I beggeth you.
And he says, no, go back and tell them what I've done in your life. Well, they already know what I did in my life. I guess I need to tell them what you've done in my life.
Right.
And so you have to stand up like she did and say, you know what? There's decisions I made that affected people. There's things that I've done that have hurt God's heart and hurt other people and hurt myself. And, you know, I've sinned. Mm-hmm. And I've asked God to forgive me. And he did, and he accepted me, and now I'm his. And he's literally, even though you may remember Roe versus Wade, you may remember Roe versus Wade, that God doesn't remember it.
That's right.
But thank you for bringing it up. It just reminds me of my desperate need for God.
Amen.
And his mercy, right?
Yeah, and you know what a big shot is? A big shot is a little shot far away from home.
That's right.
You know, coming all into a city, acting like you're all a big shot. So, you know, we're all human beings. We're, you know, and we're, especially if we're believers, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to say that God's organizational chart is a pancake chart. It's a pancake chart. And if you know, anybody knows how you design organizations, it's a flat organizational structure, which means there's one head, that's Jesus, and everybody reports directly to him.
Mm-hmm.
And although you may have anointings and gifts that you have to operate in and people need to relate to those gifts, you're ultimately accountable to Jesus. I mean, you can't put anybody, there is nobody over you in the context of you being accountable to God. There may be people in the response that God's put to lead you and hold you accountable and train you up and to stay rightly related, But you're accountable to God for how you do that. I mean, they're not, they do give an account to God for how they handled that, but you give an account to God for how you handled it.
That's right.
And so it's just imagine that, you know, if you go to the military, you have stuff like in the Navy, I think you have admirals and commanders. You have admirals on top and commanders next. And if you're in the Navy right now, you're saying that's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of describing authority here. It's been a little while. Our boats were made of wood. Anyway, so you have admirals, and then under them you have captains, and under them you have commanders, and under them you have lieutenants, and like that. So you have the structure. So you'd have your admiral over lots of stuff, and then you'd have your captain over portions of that, and then you'd have a commander over a part of that, which I believe captain and commanders are switched, and then you have your lieutenants that are over a small little thing. And then it works its way down to enlisted folks, you know, chiefs and sergeants. And it's just this huge, humongous thing. And that is called the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And something would happen, it would go all the way up, chain of command. Mm-hmm. And whoever was up there, right now they're trying to say, you know, I think it was Congressman Rand that said, if I was president, Secretary Hillary Clinton, and you... didn't read that message from an ambassador crying out for, he didn't say crying out, but asking for more security because mm-hmm. he felt very vulnerable, then I would have removed you from office.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I'm serious. It's because he was talking about that, and she was saying, no, it's way down the chain of command. You know, it's not me. It's actually somebody that works for me. But the truth is that if you're over it, you know what I'm saying? If you're over it,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm using her example, but I remember when she was running her campaign, she was talking to leaders who were over things, and she was saying about things that happened in the organization, and she was describing their life, but she was talking about, hey, to them as they were the leaders of organizations, businesses, and that type of thing. And she was evaluating them based off that and saying that you shouldn't vote for that person. You should vote mm-hmm. for me. And it's like, all of a sudden it's like, hey, switch a little bit, you know, now you're over like the most important office in the world right now. But with God, it's not like that. I mean, you can blame stuff on people all day long, but God, you report directly to him.
That's right.
Directly to him. And so, yeah, he's going to hold you personally. He's going to hold us personally accountable. And that just, it's just so, that's encouraging to know that, because there's nobody holding you back. There's nobody holding you back, but yourself. It's, you know, when we talk about, in Romans chapter 13, 1-5, when he talks about all authorities established by God and those who rebel against it, which means to resist or fight against or just don't listen,
mm-hmm.
Rebel against that authority is rebelling against what God's established.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing judgment on themselves. So we don't understand, because sometimes if you think it's not a flat organizational chart, if you would, a family chart, but organizational chart, and that you're not personally accountable to God, the enemy will convince you that men are your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even thinking about God. They may convince you that your husband's your problem, and you're not understanding. You're going to stand alone before God for how you responded to what he expected from you, and your husband's not going to be there. No witnesses, no suspects. You may be thinking that it's your wife, or you may be thinking that it's your children, or that it's your parents, or that it's your boss, or that it's your minister, or that it's your whatever. And the thing is, like, don't work that way. So there's two things about that. One is, it's so exciting that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, directly, no chain of command, right to Jesus, right to the throne room, right?
That's right.
And it's also terrifying for the fact that he can call us to his chambers and deal with us, because no matter what happened to us, no matter how people treated us, he's going to hold us accountable for how we responded to what happened to us.
Mm.
So you think about that, an organizational chart of God that you are directly accountable, but you can directly relate to him too. So that ripping of the veil meant two things: kindness and sternness of God. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the
give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Wow. At BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And he says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it,
right?
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you'll even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. First hour, you're listening to Greg Lancaster, Pat, and John as we are bringing you the love of God to encourage you in your day. That was an awesome dance, John. I like that. I like that, man. He's dancing across the room like doing the moonwalk and stuff. In his head, he's doing the moonwalk. It was just kind of like this.
Pat, tell me all those moves.
Oh, man, can you imagine old Pat dancing?
Oh, my God. I'd pay for that.
You would? Right.
Best entertainment in my life. No.
You have to look real close if something moves. You know, right?
Was that a finger?
Yeah, it was a finger. The,
the claw.
You know, it's just so important, you know, I'm focusing this week, and a lot of people I know are focusing this week, probably around the world, but you know, those that I'm ready leading to is that we're focusing on the love of God. And the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, all your heart. At the same time, he says, the heart is deceitfully wicked, about no man knows the heart. And it's like, I'm trying. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then we find out through abiding with him in John chapter 15 when he's talking about that's how he empowers us to love him and begin. And then we find out that he first loved us before we could even love him. And then we go, oh my goodness. So it's the understanding of his love that empowers me to love. And don't skip over love, because if you just skip over love, all you got left is religion and you won't like it long. And if you do like it, a lot of people are in trouble. If you like religion, a lot of people are in trouble. That pure religion is this, to defend the cause of the widow and the orphan. And that, if you want to define what pure religion is, that's what it really is. It's not necessarily some organization thing. But just, you know, I just want to encourage you today to think about the love of God and how much he loves you. I mean, he just so loves you. It's not just some, okay, he loved me once and I got to tell him once I love him, say a prayer, and then we kick into some religious mode or something and try to do some works thing. You know, we're constantly like, okay, I remember. Yeah, I remember way back when I got saved. Oh, it was just, they just talk about it. It was just so, such a loving moment. And it's like, well, how long ago was that?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And it's just the love of God and understanding that he hasn't stopped feeling the same way about you from before you said yes to him and after you said yeah. He just, I mean, you think about when I was reading this morning in the Song of Songs, you know, where, because I'm talking about, well, anyway, the Song of Songs, and he says, he's talking back and forth, and you can see that as the beloved and the lover, but you're really listening to Jesus and the church, the believers. And he's going, listen, listen, listen. And the church goes, you know, I am yours, Jesus, and you are mine. I am the beloved, and the beloved is mine. And then he goes, oh, he says, you got dove's eyes. And oh, you just look at your, you turn your face to me and it's overwhelming. I have to turn away from you because your face has overwhelmed me. Mm. You know, you know, we saw our face this morning. You know, and it's like, oh, wow. You know, how to integrate that in the context of, until we really begin to get that, and it's never ending. It's like a constant veil of lifting, veil after veil after veil. We won't be able to love him the way that we can fully do to our capacity and to love others. Because when we get that, when we get the fact that while we were yet sinners, while we're enemies of God, that God loved us and he sent his son for us and Jesus died for us and God sacrificed his son for us. All this was a love affair.
Yeah.
And he's continually, constantly in love with you. He just loves you.
Yeah.
And what people don't want, they don't want religion. They've spoken loud. They don't want religion. People are running from what we've done, and they're not running from God. They're just running from what we've done, but they're not, I mean, this is what, I think George Barner reported. It says people are leaving the church not to leave God, but to be able to stay with God.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm serious. With George Barner, I reported that in his book Revolution, I think. And the thing is, like, oh my goodness, if think about it, if your family has to leave you to stay in love with God, we need to check ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We gotta check ourselves. Now, if they're in love with the world and they leave you, there's nothing you can do about that. But if they're saying, listen, you know, I want to stay in love with God. I want to follow him. And George Barner reports in the book Revolution that where he talks about the statistical study of the church, he said, you know, many, many people are leaving church, but they're not leaving God. They're just leaving so they can stay in relationship with God. Mm. Because what it turned into, what's some things, not all things. Mm-hmm. It turned into was for them was to leave. They say 80% of the church young people are leaving the church. They're leaving the family, and one reason could be why is they never knew God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, there's this assumption in America that because you were physically born into a family that was a Christian family, therefore you're spiritually born. But remember, you taught them to talk, you taught them to walk, you taught them to dress, you taught them that you educated them, you do all these different things. And they're going to pick up on your relationship with God. Just like when you think about Eli's sons, they picked up on this relationship, but they weren't with God.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli didn't deal with it. He didn't deal with himself. And that's another story. But we just, and why not? I mean, if you're a kid of Christian parents and people tell you that you're a Christian because you hung around Christians,
yeah,
why would you say you're not? And so what's interesting is, I appreciate the ones who say they're not when they're not. And so the ones who look you in the face and they say they are because it's flattery or whatever, because you can go somewhere from truth. You can't go somewhere from a lie. No. You know, a lie binds you. And, but with that understanding, it's like, you know, he loves us. He loves us.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's just so powerful.
And the Lord showed me one time, you know, I was looking at one of my children, when they were babies, just looking at the crib, and I was just thinking, you know, oh my goodness, how much I love this child, you know, and it was just, my heart was just overwhelmed, you know, and Lord spoke to me, says, you think that's love? Says, that's how I love you. And, you know, this child hasn't said a word to me, hasn't done a single thing for me or to me or anything, but my heart just burns for this little baby. God says, listen, that's exactly how I love you. And to grasp that, we've been talking about this all week, the love of God is just an amazing thing to keep meditating on. And like, you know, Pat said, you know, the other day, we just need to believe it and receive it and run with it.
What's so cool that when we understand love or begin to understand it, we have no problem embracing weakness. We have no problem obeying God, because we're not working for success. We're working from a place of success. I am loved by God. Therefore, I'm successful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a son or a daughter of God. He loves me for who I am, not what I'm doing.
Right.
Therefore, I love to do what I'm doing for him because I love him and he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's from the point of love. And it makes me think of the David Crowder song, you know, how he loves. Oh, how he loves. And I want you to listen. I was just hearing this. I saw this. And we're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. But just meditate on the love of God. Meditate on the love of God as you hear this.
Get saved, because then you won't. And I got saved and kept on doing. So then where am I supposed to go? Because apparently Jesus doesn't work for me. He goes, oh, no. We'll work through this. But I'm not letting you go in the meantime. Oh, we'll get there. I'll finish it. I started it. I'll be faithful to finish. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep pressing in, keep confessing, but don't give up. I'll heal you. I won't let you go. There is no one who can condemn you. I don't. And if I don't, no one can. Who will even bring a charge against you? You're mine. What court could they possibly charge you in? Everything's mine.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
That God in eternity looked upon me, foreseeing my fallenness, my pride, my sin, and said, I want that man in my family. I'll do anything to get him in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. That's love, folks. That is mega, off the charts love.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are. How he loves us, oh. know how he loves us, how he loves us all.
Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That's why. We've got this weird compartmentalization thing that happens where you don't think that God sees all that you are, or that if he could have somehow knew who you were going to be, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Listen, God knew you were going to be messy. Christ knew that you were going to be messy. God knows that you're going to screw up often. He knows that you're going to be drawn to things that are wicked. He knows that's what the cross is all about. It's the whole point of the cross. Is that you're going to fail and you're going to stumble and you're going to feel dirty and you're going to feel awkward. And you go, the whole point of the cross of Christ is there be this mighty picture of his love and pursuit of you despite you. So the cross is necessary because of you, but it's also the picture we have of just how far God is willing to go because he loves you. I'm not bitter against the church. I just think somehow we've got off and there's all this talk about morality and people are conforming themselves to these moral codes, but they don't know Jesus. Who cares? It's the resurrection of Christ that justifies. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so big. It proves that all the wrath of God was poured out. It's gone. For the elect, it's gone. There is no more wrath. There's none. So Jesus sees you and he's like, my son, my daughter, perfect, spotless, blameless.
Awesome. The love of God.
Mm.
He loves you. This whole thing is about the creator of the universe is in love with you. Mm-hmm. In love with you. When you look to him, when you turn your face to him, when you turn your dove's eyes, you're wide open like a child's eyes are just wide open looking at their parents' dove's eyes. Just doves don't have eyelids. This wide-eyed look as you're looking at him, like, wow, you're awesome, Father. Jesus, thank you. You're wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You've brought me into the family. You are the bridegroom, and we are the bride. Dear God, come quickly, Jesus. Come quickly. Come quickly and take your bride to be with you. We'll be right back.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours starting at 9 a.m. Central Time all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for $1, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about $1 based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words. All the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. $1 puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100, that's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. We are coming to the last quarter of the first hour. So excited. We're hearing so many things. Is that totally awesome about the love of God, no?
Beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. Man, the love of God. We can just, you know, don't, when you feel pressure on you, when you feel, you know, that you're overwhelmed with things and stuff, it's like all of a sudden things and stuff have taken the place in our heart where the love of God should be. Because it doesn't, if you're working from a place of success,
that's right.
You're just, you know, you're just doing what you can in the season God's giving you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're doing. Somebody says, are you there yet? I was there the moment I received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Have you finished it yet? I didn't finish it. I never will. He finished it on the cross.
That's right.
That's a powerful thing. It's like, oh my goodness. And you'll be surprised. It's sort of like trying to help somebody lose weight. If you criticize them, they actually get heavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you encourage them and inspire them and speak into their life and know that it's based on love, that they can succeed in those kind of things.
Sure.
Well, listen, when you know that it's you'll have a joyful, successful walk with God when you know that it's based on love. It's not based on human love. It's not based on flesh love, you know, filial type love, and that's where we're not going to go into, but just flesh love. But it's just based on the I'm going to love you. I am love, and it's coming your way, and it's going to be, you're just mine.
Mm-hmm.
And if we try to put our brain into that, okay, now let me figure this out. And then we have our little small grid that was built during a vapor, and we're trying to figure out this awesome God who always was. He doesn't live in time. He lives outside of time. And he's just going, oh my goodness, it's going to be a while before they can receive my love. I can tell, you know, they're going to treat really people really bad. They're going to be really, you know, thinking bad about them. And they're not going to believe I'm singing over them. They're not going to believe I have good plans in store for them. They're not going to believe that my thoughts towards them are good. They're not going to believe that I have forgiven their sin when they asked me. And I don't even know what it is anymore, because I took it and put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and I'm remembering it no more as far as the east is from the west. But oh my goodness,
since they're not receiving my love, it's going to be real difficult for them to get this. But you know what? I love them so much, I'll walk through them all through all this craziness, you know?
Mm.
All this craziness. Mm. And it's like a big top lifted off your head or your can or whatever. You, so you imagine a can and tops on it and it's sealed tight. But the second you can receive love, it's like that top comes off. And then God just pours in the revelation of his love. And now he loves you, but the revelation, the awareness and the supernatural impartation of the knowledge that God loves you is just a powerful, powerful thing. So I just want to encourage you that the love of the Lord will sustain us. It's what keeps us. It's what gives purpose to life. And without love, things just don't have meaning. They just don't have meaning.
Wow, that's so awesome. Our little pea brain, my little pea brain. I can't receive it in my brain. Got to receive it in my spirit, right?
Pea brain? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You have a driver's license?
Yeah, I do. I do. Well, you know, it's time. It's time for the top three on the VFN Torch.
Oh, cool, cool.
Top three. Well, you know, one of the segments that we want to talk about, the first one is called The Deal. This is a really very good one, but it's based on Proverbs 20:14, where the Word of God says, it's no good, says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about his purchase. And we share not a humorous story, but a story when, Pat, you remember this, when you purchased the truck. You purchased the truck from a believer that, you know, who did, you know, is trying to sell you a lemon there, you know, trying to sell you a smoke that it was all about the deal.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And it didn't go well.
No.
You know, it didn't go well.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Pulled it up to a store.
Yep. Pouring smoke out the back.
And you couldn't see the store. You couldn't see the store. I'm telling you.
True.
You couldn't see the store. The whole parking lot was filled. And we're not talking about Walmart here. It was like a 7-Eleven. I think, I can't remember, couldn't see it. but it was just, and the thing was, the only reason you'd pulled it over was just so we could figure out how to talk to this Christian in a way that wouldn't offend them. But yeah.
It's a piece of junk.
Yeah. Right. God says something about it. So many people looking for the deal, right?
It's not about the deal. It really isn't about the deal. And God's looking at that. And you know, God's wisdom says that it matters the motive of our heart. It matters that when we do business, how we treat somebody else, that we're not just looking to get for our own interests, but this has to be a win-win situation, not a win-lose, because God's watching. His eyes is looking on everything, and he determines our heart. So let me tell you something. You want to be, you know, you want to get God's wisdom in this.
That's good. It is a good one.
You want to get God's wisdom in this, because it's not about the deal. It really isn't. It's all about God. It always is.
It's so important. It's so important, too, because if you get something in the wrong way, God knows you have it. He says, I see the widow's furniture in your home. I see these things. And so you need to listen to that. You need to listen to this because you don't want to get things with ill-gotten gain or ill-gotten ways.
Mm-mm. Shoot. It reminds me of a time actually when I was. I had a few moments like that.
Yeah.
I had received this when I was younger, BC, before Christ. I had these.
What'd you do?
I have to, you know, preference all of this here.
Set this up.
But I had this CD, 5-disc CD player. They were brand new at the time. And I was like 15 at the time. I had this thing for years. And the neighbor down in my neighborhood wasn't the nicest guy to me. He was just treating me really bad. So the UPS guy says, can you hold this for your neighbor?
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Sure I can. Sure I can. And the neighbor just didn't get it.
Oh my goodness. Dude, that is evil. I saw somebody on the news doing that, going around picking up UPS packages and stuff.
Oh, I was 15.
I could go back and it was a long time ago. Okay.
Long time. but fast forward, yeah, I'm in my 20s and I still had the CD player, but I'd given my life to the Lord. So one day I'm worshiping the Lord in my apartment. I was single at the time and just
on that CD player.
Oh my goodness.
And the Lord speaks to me. He says, you're worshiping me on stolen stuff. Ooh. I go, oh my gosh. Wow. I got to do something about this. I got to get this out of my house. God saw this. He's aware of this.
Yeah.
So I remember I was talking to you, Greg. I'm like, what do I do with this? I got this dilemma. Somebody was walking by like, do you need this for the youth? we got a 5 CD changer for you. We'll be driving off tomorrow. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for that help. Thank you for that help. But it's amazing. You know, you really want to, you want to do the right thing because God sees it all.
He sees it all.
Did, and did you call him up?
What'd you call him?
No, I was states away. Across,
they got Google now. They got Google.
Hey, I don't have a problem with Benny. No problem with that. No, I've never done it before the Lord. I can
Well, be careful because they'll move across the street from you one day. You'll have to.
Yeah, right. Hey, there's no time to talk about your experience. There's no saying, oh my goodness, we don't have enough. There is not enough time left in this year, even though it's January, to start working. You think I'm joking, but I'm just like, it's deep, it's serious, and we just don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying?
It's not good. It's
That's
not
so good, the deal. Because you think about it, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in office, he was talking about doing the deal. And, of course, it didn't do anything. It just sustained the depression that was going on. But when our current president went into office for the first term, he passed that book out to everybody read that book because he wanted to do a deal. And the thing is that, but how did it end up? I mean, how are Americans being treated in the context of this?
Americans, and I've seen so many people in the church be slaughtered, you know, over the deal. And it's like, you know, don't you come amongst the church and try to peddle your products and just take advantage of the church. Get out of here with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't be doing that. You know, if you blessing is one thing, but you don't hurt somebody in the process of it. It's not good.
Yeah. Actually, I got out of one business because of that when, you know, I was in ministry and on staff somewhere. And men, you know, I was ministering to men, and men just, they just think business, you know, quite often. And they think if you're talking to them at that time, they think you're trying to do business with them.
Right.
And of course, that's the Father's business.
Right.
You know, I'm not trying to sell you anything or trying to get you to buy something or anything like that. And I said, you know, God, I want everything out of the way so I can speak to these men. And so I just laid down a very successful business so that I could minister to them so they wouldn't think that it was a deal.
Mm-hmm.
That, no, I'm talking about your soul, not your stuff. You know, that's good.
Yeah, it's real good. Soul, not the sale, right?
Right.
The second one I want to talk about is don't talk about it, but be about it. And that was a great, great highlight, great segment, because we really talked about how Paul, you know, preached so many people, and he preached to a certain group at one time that was so interested in philosophizing and talking about, you know, the things of God, but they didn't want to know God. They didn't want to know the things of God. And so, what happened was, you know, this is not good. You know, in the media today is just talking. But is anybody going to do anything with what the information that we're receiving?
Yes.
You know, we got to do
What's
something.
The point?
What's the point?
Exactly. What's the point, right? What's the point? I love that. What's the point?
All we do is just talk about it.
Yeah.
My goodness. What's the point?
Come on, what's the point? I mean, Paul didn't wait on nothing. He just went and did it.
That's right.
What's the point? Jesus didn't wait on, he did it.
Yeah, you know,
everybody just did it.
Yeah, we're not just supposed to be hearers; we're supposed to be doers as well. Hearers and doers, right?
Because we're merely deceived, he says, if we're just hearers and not doers.
That's right. And you know, we have a simple plan. We have a simple plan for you. You can get it at iabide.org. But it's a way not only for you to abide and spend time with God and read His Word, and listen to what He has to tell you, but also that the second part of that is to obey what He says, not just to listen, but to listen.
Oh wow!
And to
wait. So it's not about showing up or listening to scripture or somebody teach something.
Yeah.
You actually got to do what you actually just read.
Mm. Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Maybe this explains why 82% or 81% of professing Christians in America, according to George Barna, are not reading scripture because it really upsets our plans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. It's time to do.
Yeah, well, right? There's eternal consequences for not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You're just totally deceived.
Well, you know, loving God is obedience. I mean, loving Him. You say, well, you love God. It's like, well, if I haven't picked my Bible up in 10 years, then how do I even know I'm loving? How do I know if I'm walking in obedience to Him?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, you just blind leading the blind, and to come to a point where, listen, you know, we're only good. If you haven't figured this out already, we can only live by God's Word.
Yeah.
And it's like, nothing else is going to stand.
Nope.
Nothing else is going to stand, but His Word will remain, which actually brings us to the next segment on the torch, on the top three, which is crowns don't last forever. Be prepared. And this is a fantastic, fantastic highlight. You definitely want to catch it. We talk about Proverbs 23 through 27, and how forms of government and kingdoms don't last forever. Look throughout history. Kingdoms come.
And kingdoms go.
And kingdoms go. And so don't hang your hat on any kingdom, on any political party. Hang your hat on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his word, because he's the only one that
his kingdom lasts forever, right?
His kingdom lasts forever.
And we're feeling, you hear a lot of people talk about it, John, that it's almost, we could very well, statistically, based on the lasting of nations and nations like America, that we could be at the end of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Very well could be.
And it's like, this is a terrible nation to waste. Do we really want to waste this freedom and all that? You know, we really need, and we can keep it if we don't turn to it and turn to, what you're saying, turn to God.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, don't forget, those are the top three in the VFN Torch, and you can get to the Torch by going to VFNTV.com.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Well, I want to remind you that we're going to be going into the extra hour. We're going to be talking about the U.S. citizenship test, about embracing weakness. Instead of pushing it away, instead of pushing struggle away and difficulty away, learn to embrace it. Because even if men mean it for evil, God means it for good, because it'll work out something in our lives when we actually embrace that. And it will make us weaker, but we're going to find out about that's when the power of God becomes real in our life, when we embrace the weakness. Because he said, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. It's perfected. So I'm excited about talking to you about that. We have so many other things we're going to be talking to you about in the extra hour. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.